Another prophecy of the Messiah is fulfilled, and we heard it in the very first reading today, and then Matthew is very keen to point it out, that in Isaiah's letter, Isaiah's prophecy, he points out that the Messiah is going to come kind of in the margins, in the peripheries, that he's going to appear to the northern tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, basically as far away from Jerusalem as possible. You think that this Messiah, this king figure, would come to the mightiest city of all the people of Israel, but says no, he's going to break into the far-off regions, the fringes, as it were. And it's there in the place of gloom and darkness that the light is going to come. He says, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. And then the first words of Jesus' public ministry are these: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That word repentance in Greek, it's metanoia, that your minds would be turned around. So that repent is to move away from something and to move towards someone. And Jesus is going to do exactly that, issue that invitation to his very first followers. But today it's really a reflection on the kingdom of light that Jesus brings into the world. You know, in the 1100s, there's St. Dominic, who was just Dominic at that point. And Dominic is a holy man, and he's starting to lead this group of men to be especially devoted to the Lord. That they're not going to be monks who just sit away in monasteries. There's a real poverty in the world that people don't know the Lord. They haven't been preached to. They haven't been taught. They haven't been accompanied on this way. And as all of the monks for 700 plus years have prayed and devoted themselves to the Lord, praying day and night in their monasteries, Dominic and Francis, like him, in a different part of the world, are going to go out and preach and teach. And as Dominic is beginning this endeavor, the Blessed Mother appears to him. She says to him, I want people to come to me so that I can bring their needs to my son. And the Blessed Mother, Jesus' mom, gives Dominic the rosary. The people would pray, the monks would pray 150 psalms every day, devoting themselves to the Lord, singing the praises of God. And the people in their farms and their shops, they didn't know how to pray. And the mother intervenes, our Blessed Mother intervenes and hands Dominic the rosary. And she teaches him, these are the mysteries of my son's life that I want you to meditate on. And she gives him first the joyful mysteries, that God has broken into time, into our time. And so we have the beginnings of Jesus' life, his annunciation, the visitation of Mary and Elizabeth. We have the birth of Jesus, his presentation in the temple, and then finding Jesus in the temple after he gets lost. And then we basically fast forward from that moment to his death. The Blessed Mother gives him the sorrowful mysteries, that Jesus is condemned to die. He takes up his cross. He's crowned with thorns. He's crucified on the cross. And then finally, the glorious mysteries. Jesus, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, the sending of the Holy Spirit. And then we miss this huge portion of Jesus' life. And for 800 years, we prayed just those mysteries. But in 2002, John Paul II said, no, we need to meditate on the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And he gives us the luminous mysteries, the mysteries of light. And it's exactly where this gospel is focused on, that the mysteries of light make sense. That Jesus is baptized in the Jordan, the first time we see the Trinity really clearly at work, that the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That the Holy Spirit comes to rest on Jesus, and Jesus receives everything that the Father wants to give him. And then it's at the wedding feast at Cana that Jesus works his first miracle. And then finally, we see the proclamation of the kingdom of God. And I was always, when I learned the rosary, I was like 19 when I learned the rosary. I'm like, isn't that just what Jesus does, the whole proclamation of the kingdom of God? Like, he's constantly telling people that they need to be welcomed into his kingdom, that his kingdom extends to every corner of the earth. And the answer is yes. But the hallmark movement of this missionary impulse to go out is exactly this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, not 10 years from now, but today the kingdom is at hand for you. And I think what we prayed in that psalm today, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And yeah, I have to ask that question, like, is that true? I can say those words, but is that actually true for me? Do I receive my light, my courage, my salvation from the Lord? Or am I somehow or another clinging onto something else as my own purpose, my own comfort, my own strength? Because the psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, and asks a rhetorical question. If that's true, whom shall I fear? Of whom should I be afraid? That if I actually belong to the kingdom, then I know that God is my light and my salvation, that Jesus is king, he has authority, he has control, and that I get to surrender to him and entrust my life to him. And the first occurrence we're going to see of Jesus actually inviting somebody to kingdom living are these very first followers. As Jesus was passing by the Sea of Galilee, he sees two brothers, Simon and Andrew, casting a net into the sea. And he says to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. He doesn't say, if this is convenient for you guys, I could use some company along the road. He doesn't say, I know you guys are doing a lot of stuff which is purposeful and meaningful, and you're trying to make work for yourself. I can't promise you much, but if you want to, you can join me. He says, no, come after me. Like an imperative, a command to say, I want you to be with me. I need you to be with me. Not only is it good for me, but it's good for you. Come after me. And they, we hear, at once, they left their nets and followed him. That they see the light breaking into the darkness of their own lives, and they have no fear about entrusting themselves to Jesus. And next we see kind of a more difficult scenario. He walks along and sees two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother. They were in a boat with their dad, mending their nets. And Jesus is going to do the same thing. He called them, come after me. And you think, what's happening in James and John at this moment? Here they are, they've been fishing their whole lives, Zebedee and Sons Company, fishing company. And all of a sudden, they're going to be asked to leave that behind, that I have to leave my boat, I have to leave my nets, and I have to leave my dad and follow this new person whom I'm just meeting. And what we hear is so beautiful. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And with them, he went around all of Galilee, teaching, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. But that image of James and John, like mending their nets. It's not sinful to do our jobs. It's not sinful to be a student. It's not sinful to do the good things that the Lord has called us to. And yet he still invites us in a particular way to come after him, in a very personal way, so that we don't sit there mending our nets and sort of toiling, but to be invited on this great adventure. It's really comfortable to think, well, I'm a religious person, but I don't really need to surrender myself entirely to the Lord. But as the proclamation of the kingdom of God begins by Jesus casting out the darkness and welcoming in the light, what sort of light is Jesus bringing to our minds and hearts today in a way that we need to follow him more closely, to surrender to him more entirely? But the invitation is there for us. We who are people who sit in darkness but have seen a great light, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.